This is RSBNB Update, episode 403, recorded Friday, March 8th, 2013. The Guthix Monkey. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update 403. We are here to discuss a major
quest,
groundbreaking quest in RuneScape, something that hasn't been done before. The game year has advanced.
Generally, what happens when they release new content, Shane?
Well, no, the game year is advanced. We're in the new year now, so everything that came out prior to now is in the past. Anyway,
looks like a monkey. Spoiler alert. Oops, too late.
Yeah,
that's actually a good point. Spoiler alerts going forward. We are probably going to talk about the major points of this quest. I don't know if we'll spoil the ending.
Because next week they're going to just treat it as if everyone's done it, right?
I think so, right? So,
So
spoiler alerts going forward. But, as you can tell how enthused some of us are about this. Not really, but Earth of Informer is here.
That's me, guys.
We like you, Reed. We like you when you're here.
Me.
Yeah, you were supposed to be on last week, but, you know, the quest got delayed for something that we're really not fans of. But
You're not fans of it. Many people are, though.
I don't care. I'm executive producer of this podcast, so that's why we make the decisions we make.
Yes, massa.
Yes, massa. Yes,
thank you. All right, okay. The world wakes. Don't you hear that? The glorious noise of silence in the background coming from after Reed turned off his fan. Oh, that's great.
Shane, I think you're crazy. It's silent. The noise. Is that accurate, Trekkie? Did that happen?
No idea. No comment.
You're a crazy old man.
I know I'm old. That's what I tell my dad.
Yeah, me too.
I'm older than you.
I know.
Hey, really?
Yes.
By about 6 months. Or not 6 months. Four?
Six Five. Years.
I'm not that old.
You're 80.
All right,
but
so the world
of
wakes.
Old Guthix.
Yes, Guthix is very old, isn't he? But before we get too far down the wagon trail of the world waking, let's just say that this quest, as we said, does advance the game year, and they kept the requirements explicitly low because they want everyone to be able to do it. So the only real requirement is 140 combat. Then the other requirements are for the rewards later on in the quest. So if you want to experience the full thing, you will need Branches of Darkmire, Chosen Commander, Firemaker's Cursed, Ritual of the Majorat, 90 Prayer, 74 Firemaking, and 70 Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
But and let us reiterate
the main.
Have
put while Guthix sleeps is a requirement because it doesn't make much sense after that.
I don't know.
Because while Guthix is, can I spoilers? Is that okay?
Yeah, yes, as I said for the entire RS segment.
Because while Guthix is dead.
Yeah, that does happen, we'll get how that happens in a bit. But, you think that while Guthix sleeps should have been a requirement?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because, as I said, it's not while Guthix sleeps anymore, it's while Guthix is dead.
I guess that's a good point, but if you think about it, while Guthix sleeps was largely a Majorat Stone of Jazz-based quest.
Yeah, no.
But Ritual of the Majorat is a requirement. And that did require Wellgothic sleep, so this does implicitly require reward.
I meant just to do the quest.
Oh, okay. I
feel like I don't like quests that are standalone.
All right. So let's talk a bit about what happens in this quest. You start by talking to the Orlando Smith guy, who is just west of the Legends Guild, and it starts pretty much as any RS quest does, where you are going to explore some cavern of something, but oh no, you discover that this is a special cavern, and you're only able to open the door because you have been smiled upon by Guthix. And then once the Guardians of Guthix appear, we realize that this is the pathway to where Guthix is sleeping.
And oh, I thought you had something there. And basically, he was in an eternal slumber during the whole time.
Yeah.
Last couple thousand years.
So the entire quest it goes through the process of getting to the door where you have to make the decision of what you do with Guthix. But in the way that these quests work, the decision you make really doesn't influence the outcome in this case. We all pretty much did different decisions.
But
I think you guys did the one to let him sleep.
Yeah, I decided to let him be. I wasn't gonna kill him. I mean, thou shalt not kill a god. And secondly, to take over power, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah, lots of things.
I found it interesting that all of the God Wars bosses were there, right?
Yeah, that was, wasn't it? Because they're all fighting for their respective god. Do you think that it's possible that they had a quest that was set up like this, and they had originally planned to bring these guardians in at their full strength and not dumb them down like they did?
Well, remember
them. Oh, I see. Well, I mean, not everyone can solo all of those.
Yeah,
that would be
not
a true Grandmaster quest, wouldn't it?
Dude, if
no,
we could
that
really
would make me quit.
Yes, we will never finish it because, let's face it, Shane, you, me, and Reed don't exactly have the expertise to solo those God of War bosses.
Yeah.
Well, it comes down to combat in RuneScape is still very much determined by the server ticks and whatnot. I mean, there's a prime example in the fight with the Armadyl Crayara in this quest. You're essentially running around a room trying to evade these little, what are they called? Wind turbine
vortex
things. Wind vortices. You're running around trying to avoid these. And that doesn't come down to player skill at all. That comes down to how good of a connection you have to their server. And, the RuneScape servers have been known to lag quite a bit from time to time. And I really wish they would stop basing these boss fights off of things where you have to run around and be governed by your connection to the server. I mean, that was the whole point of EOC, was to remove these kind of barriers from it, but yet this quest, that is supposedly the top-of-the-line quest that comes out, has something like this in the quest. That was one of my major negatives, actually. Only one of
did
two.
You, how many times did you die, Shane?
None.
Uh-huh. Then why are you complaining you didn't die? Case closed. Move on.
Well,
yeah,
no,
to Kriara, I think I had to teleport out.
Really?
Yeah, because that was only the first time, because I didn't bring food.
Food,
because you led me astray. Say, you won't need that much food.
You said that?
Yes, you did.
First, I died during the quest, but it was during the automatons because I wasn't really paying attention. I went down there with a sword and a helmet. That was basically that was it.
Yeah, and I died at the...
Oops.
Why did you do that already?
What?
I'm sorry, continue.
What was that?
Never mind.
Okay. I died at the in the tunnels thing a few times. The Shane, you didn't get to experience this because you did your thing. But I went with the Guthixians. So I had to do the whole running and char and Nex or chucking stuff fire at me. So I had to dodge those. So I died a few times there.
And
but...
see, this is what I was getting at. You shouldn't be governed by how quick you can evade these things given your ping. I mean, I just wish these kind of things would disappear from quests.
Well, if you have a good connection, if you have a decent connection, I have DSL over a phone line, and I can still get 16 ping of 16 from their servers, so then there's not really a point.
I don't know. It just feels still too cumbersome, but anyways, let's continue on. But so puzzles. Did you guys find the puzzle too easy?
The what? The
no,
the pipe one?
It was just dry.
The pipe one.
Yeah, no, I like that one. You know, it pays homage to a lot of the old little puzzle games we used to do, off the game and in the game. I liked it. Yeah, it took me a while to figure out the second one out because I didn't catch one on the pipes. I was like, oh, stupid.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to see based on the way the game covers it, but we can hope that'll be fixed later on.
No, I saw it just fine. It just took me a while to finally see that one. I was like, oh, dude, can't believe I missed that one pipe over there. Stupid moment.
Yeah, and that was to open one of the doors. I forget which door it was.
The second door. It was right after you kill the armadillo god boss. The birdie. Okay.
Griara, right.
The
so,
birdie.
Essentially, it comes down to getting to the final room. Then you have to face the four of the
bosses.
Four of the bosses again. Mm-hmm. So after you do that, you get to go see Guthix. And then do your running thing that Reed was mentioning, depending
Indiana
on which
Jones
choice
style.
You choose. What style?
Indiana Jones style.
Oh, yeah. You know, I actually thought of that, too.
Dun, 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 dun.
So,
okay.
Now that we know basically this quest, did it feel short to you guys?
A little bit.
It did feel short to me. I mean, as a whole, I finished it when after I told you that I had to get going, I was almost done. It was just that I had to go really quick. But I don't know. I didn't even use the guide. I did the whole thing. I read through the whole thing, and I did it myself. It was like, this was quick. But
I didn't use a guide.
Their most recent quests have been very much focused on not using guides and just following the story more so than the older ones where you'd have to go fetch something, you know? So that's good.
But, you know, in terms of, you know, the level requirement, you're supposed to only have, be a level 140 combat anyway. That's not
that would be
super,
hard.
Super high. Yeah, it would be hard, but it's not impossible. I mean, come on. We have people level 70 who killed the Jad dude with full Guthin and whatnot. But in terms of like the level requirement, this is pretty much, you know, mid high level. This the quest length was seemed reasonable for someone you know, starting out.
Now,
you want to do everything, that's different.
One of the criticisms of this is that people were expecting something on the order of the length of Lelguthic Sleeps with the difficulty of Nomad for it to have the Grandmaster title.
I wouldn't like the difficulty of Nomad again, but I'd take the length of Fall Gothic Sleeps, yeah.
Do you think this was worthy of the Grandmaster title?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Because the Me thing too. Is, this is, remember, we're moving 1 year forward. This is more of an introduction. Imagine what they're going to release in the next couple of months. This year just started, and it started off with a really good quest. And it's really introducing, yeah. Hey, within this next couple of years, or this year, we're going to be releasing the new awesome quest called stuff. The Storyline. You know, just imagine what kind of stories they'll be coming out with. To connect with this one, we still haven't answered the question of Dragonkin. I mean, they did roast Edgeville.
And they didn't make an appearance in this quest.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
I still say that the Dragonkin are like the Iconians in Star Trek.
Okay.
Why?
Can destroy anything and super powerful. And
who says they can destroy anything? They are super powerful.
Edgeville.
That was with fire. Yes, Dronk with a couple of torches could have done the same thing.
And you know the sad thing is, Shane? You know it's a government contract because they still haven't finished up fixing it yet.
Oh. Oh, speaking of the Iconians, Reed, what did you think of the episode called Contagion?
Hey, level show. Stay on track. Stay
yeah,
on track.
Yeah.
Come on, Shane.
Right. Wrong show. Tell me after.
You're stuck with him, dude. Okay. So anyway, me and Reed decided to let Guthix sleep, and you decided to wake him up. But the end result was the same. One of them, Murashirat, went in and like, "Hi, dude."
Slisk.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Stabbed him with the slisk. And you know what was ironic about this?
He didn't stab him with the Slisk. His name is Slisk, and he used the Staff of Armadil. Come on, Shane.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. Learn the lore.
Shane,
so you have me, I guess.
That's why we got you here. So,
yes.
What was ironic about this is after that...
Talking about how it's the same way that Zaros was banished, sort of?
Well, no, I was going towards the same thing. Well, not the same thing. I mean, I was going towards a thing about how Guthix actually became a god by picking up one of these powerful weapons, and then that's ultimately what does him in.
No, I don't think that's what does him in, because if you read the thing at all, it said that he didn't want to, but it just really happened. And when he came to the blank plain of Gilinor, he wanted just wanted a place where the gods would not be there, and then people started worshipping him as a god. So
doesn't that sound familiar to some of our religions?
Don't mess with religion, man.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so Guthix does officially die, not before he gives you some of his magical powers. So you're technically a guardian, and you're super powerful and all that kind of stuff. Even though I still die to lesser demons if they let me. Actually, it would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice the next Grandmaster Quest you had the powers of God who was like, "I'm gonna kill you." No, you aren't. Ooh,
yeah, I said the next logical step to take this is to make the player a god.
Q, right, Shane?
No, I wasn't thinking that, actually.
Well, anyway, so you have the choice of either protecting the world from the gods, which would be Sarah Doman and Zamorak.
And Zaros and all of the others.
Yeah. Okay. And you have the other quest, which, let's see. You have the other option, which you side with the Dark Lord and you kill him, which the guy before you already does it anyway. Or you decide to make yourself a god. Take his power and become, immortal yourself. So that's basically your three choices. Either protect him, kill him, or you know. Is either you protect the world,
or you want to wake him up and get some wisdom or something? I didn't understand.
Yeah, that's the option I chose.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that?
Reed is just tired. Leave him alone. Don't pay attention to this little boy. But
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you can either choose to protect Glenanor from the gods. You can choose to let the gods come and you help them out one way or another. Or you say, screw that. I'm going to make myself into an immortal and kill everyone and make the world into my own image.
You know, I was almost tempted to choose that last option.
I'm sure lots of people in our community did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we actually got a question coming up in the questions about this, so we won't discuss this too much now about choices, but...
Although I liked how at the end Saradomin came down and he tried to, oh, hello, Shu, and then tried to teleport you away and just,
like,
oh, it didn't work. That's interesting.
Actually, that's my little pet peeve with the thing. Like, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, all the gods are somewhat like brothers, aren't they?
Sort of. Whenever, even though, okay, during the God Wars, even though they were all fighting, this was before Zemrak was a god, he was just a Majorat.
Right.
When Zemrak came and, just with the Staff of Armadil and attacked Zaros and stole his power, all of the other gods, even though they were all fighting, stopped, went there, and banished Zemrak. So, I mean, they're...
Mm-hmm.
They're not brothers in what... Like, blood, I think. But they do share a mutual respect.
Hmm.
Did that make sense? Did that answer your question?
My little thing is that, you know, they're supposed to... It's just weird that Guthix looks like a giant green monkey and Saradomin looks like some old white dude.
He was blue.
His hair was white. He looked like the guy from the Star Wars cartoon. But, I'm sure Saradomin has a real form. That was just a form he can communicate with human beings.
Well, yeah, they're gods, right?
And it was like, wait, it was just kind of like, it just could have been better. I just don't like the idea of Guthix looking like a giant green monkey.
I did not like the way they made him look.
But if anything, I would even show his picture. You know, I would have been like in from his perspective and just like do like a cutscene with the dialogue and all you see is just you. You don't even see what Guthix looks like. I think that would have been better.
Yeah. Although I think this way it was... Well, I mean, you remember in the beginning of the quest, Slisk disguises as a dark, mysterious person or whatever and says... Something like, how dare you wake me, I am Guthix.
But he's really not.
So I think they needed to do that, otherwise there would be speculation that it wasn't actually Guthix.
That's a good point. That's a very good point, actually.
But you do know it's Guthix. I mean, that was the whole point at the end. It's like, are you Guthix? Yes, I am. And blah, 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 blah. But I'm curious where Guthix would have came from because he came from that little, you know, petri dish thing.
Coming
from, you know, you remember when you had to create balance in a little in the wall thing with the control panel of God? It's basically looking like a petri dish. That's what I was looking at it the whole time.
I see.
But anyway, no, he's supposed to come from another. He came from another realm.
Yeah, exactly.
Glenanor and everything
he came
else.
From that one realm, and there was lots of war. And then he got that weapon, and he killed that one god guy, and inadvertently got his power. And he just wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other way, it
is now
this just does then solidify that he is the creator, he is the legitimate creator that everybody should have been worshipping all this time.
But he doesn't want to be worshipped.
Yeah, he's well, Buddha. You know, I mean, that thing... Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, Buddha, he is the figure of the of Buddhism, but he isn't a god. He is a teacher.
Yes, but we treat
is
him
that,
as a
god. Is that right, Trekkie?
Yes, but we also treat him as a god as well. Me and Dana were discussing this the other day.
In relation to the quest?
In relation to the quest and what each god is supposed to represent.
Okay. So what have we got?
Well, according to him, Saradoma also represent a little bit of Jesus Christ. Guthix is also representing Buddha because he's big and fat. Chikung Buddha, that's another one. That's the lucky one where you rub the belly to get lucky and all that.
That's Hotai.
We have Zamorak, who was supposed to quote unquote represent the devil.
Republicans.
I didn't go there. You did. You're going to get in trouble with that later.
Maybe. I thought you were going to say something else for a while of what Zamorak would represent on a religious standpoint, but...
What's that, okay. Shane?
No, that's okay. I'll tell you after.
Were you talking about... Were you going to be race... Or not racist,
no?
Really, but...
Anyway.
Hey, I'll send you this.
Okay, well... So anyway, so let's go over the rewards. The rewards on this are actually quite good. It's really big, especially if you did every little thing. So let me go back up here really quick. Where is it? Here we go. So you get 3 quest points, 250k XP, prayer lamps. For prayer, that's over 80. 110k Slayer XP lamp for 70. For Slayer over 70. 300k XP in 3 lamps for 3 skills over 75, 350k experience lamps usable for any combat over 65, and you get a 6H circuit and a gift from one of the gods. And you get access to the Guthix Shrine, the World Guardian title, 5 new combat abilities, access to Cessbolt's area, and Cessbolt as a Slayer target. And of course, 2 extra spins.
Yeah. The area you can go for Slayer, those things drop some gloves. Jagex started the price at about 5 million for these gloves. So if you're interested in making some cash, you could head on and down and try and get some of those.
What are the gloves?
Just different gloves that enhance all 3 sides of the combat triangle.
Oh.
I think they're about mid-range. I haven't checked out the full stats on them, but they're better than the barrel
gloves. I didn't
know
about that. The pneumatic, static, and tracking gloves?
That's correct.
Cool.
So they're about... they don't drop very much, but I guess a good slight XP. They're only level 67.
Yes, so I mean, they're going to come down.
But anyways.
The new abilities.
I haven't tested
Let's
them out, though,
yet. Let's discuss these for a bit. Hmm?
I haven't tested them out.
Yeah, neither did I. We're actually saving this for next week when the main combat update comes out. But the attack ability that came out is interesting in that if you're above 50%, oops. It will actually damage you rather than dealing more damage.
Which one?
Balanced Strike, I believe it's called.
Oh, okay. Strike your target, restoring balance. If you have a smaller percentage of your life points than they do of their life points, your target will take the difference as a percentage of their life points in damage. You will be healed for half the difference as a percentage of your life points. Be cautious. If you have more health than your target, the effects will be reversed. You're taking damage and they will be healed.
Now, is this on percentage or actual life points?
It's a percentage.
Okay.
Percentage of whatever remaining life points is, so don't know what that formula is.
All right.
So, That's actually good for boss fighting.
Yeah, it is. You just got to be very careful.
Well, basically, you put on two ultimate abilities, and when it's too high up, you slash it, and when it's about halfway down, you stop.
The Constitution one is called Guthix's Blessing. Invokes a butterfly, 8% of your life points every 2 seconds for a maximum of 10 seconds. Ultimate ability again, 5-minute cooldown.
And we have the one for
Natural Instinct one.
I was getting that one. So a Natural Instinct is a defense ability. Instantly leash your target's adrenaline. If fighting a non-player opponent that does not use adrenaline, for the next 20 seconds, you will gain 200% adrenaline from your own abilities. That's nice.
Does it need a shield?
No, just 85 defense. You have magic. You have sunshine. Summon a sunbeam to shine over your location, lasting 10 seconds. During that time, provided you remain within the beam, your magic damage will be increased by 50%. If your target enters the beam, they will be hit for 10% to 20 of the weapon damage every 2 seconds. So you're basically smiting anyone that gets close to you.
Mm-hmm. And the ranged one is called Death Swiftness. Creates a shroud around you for 10 seconds while you, stood in it. Your attacks deal 50% more damage against opponents. If your target stands within the shroud, they'll be hit for 10% to 20% of weapon damage every 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, here's the additional rewards. You can pay respect to the monument where Guthix died and receive another 100k prayer experience. But you need 90.
But you do need
90.
Level 90.
They said 80 before. That annoys me. No, they said 80 because I bought 80 prayer. And then...
Okay, and you have to light 5 torches around the shrine to yield 50k fire XP, but you need 74 fire magic to do it.
Oh, I see. The pale lamp that gives you prayer experience requires at least 80 prayer. Okay. All right, Jagex, I forgive you.
And you get the 6th age circuit, which will teleport you to the shrine,
It also gives you a nice crit boost.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's the main reason you'd wear that around. I think it gives you the crit boost of. Oh, what is it? I forget. I don't know.
Supposed to be less than the Onyx Eye. That's all I know. Slightly less than Onyx Eye. You also get the ability to kill the Automatons and the Crest Bots, but you need 67 Slayer to do those. And, of course, a new pet. A Crest Bot pets if you get a rare drop from it.
Yay. Yeah.
Yes. So that's basically it. So, you know, do an overview.
Oh, for the record... gloves have 194 armor and 255 life.
Okay. So anyway, as a whole, Shayna, what parts of the quest did you like? What did you like about the quest? Let's just, you know, in general, let's just get this over with and move on to the next topic.
Running through the thing and going on the mission of discovery to begin with, and then going into Guthix's mind and seeing his old realm of where he was. That was pretty
okay.
Nice.
What about you, Mr. Reed?
What was my favorite part?
Yeah, favorite part. What you liked most about the quest? You can list up to 3 if you want.
Can I say all of it?
Okay.
I love that they added more lore. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, and as you can tell, I blatantly got that wrong, so.
It's okay. Only people like Reed would pay attention to the lore. But what I liked about the quest was near the end, we had to defend Juno. Is that how you pronounce
it? Juna.
Right, Juna. I'm thinking O at the end. We had to protect Juna. And I just finished killing one of the bots. I had no food left. I was low on health, so I... But it's like, oh, I gotta teleport out. There's no way I can do this. But I knew what was happening. So instead of going back with my double chaotic, I went back with an Armadale Godsword. I was like, hey, Armadale followers. Oh, this is much easier.
I actually brought my two-handed sword through the entire quest, and that's what I used. Mm-hmm. And it worked quite well there.
Yeah, because all the AoE abilities. I really enjoyed the music. The music really gave a sense of battle. Yeah, like all those battle scenes, it was a lot of drum bass.
Yeah, that's one thing we didn't mention. The musical tracks in this quest were actually pretty good. So,
And so, it sounded good, especially during the battle scene, parts of it. It actually gets your adrenaline pumping a little bit because of how much the drums were beating.
Adrenaline. Yes. the thing you need to use abilities, right?
And fight or flight response if you want to do that. More commonly known in medical field as epinephrine. Well, let's move on. Okay.
Hang on.
Oh, God. Play. Yes, my son. Yes.
I'm trying to get it to play off their SoundCloud page, but it won't play.
Don't worry.
Click to play.
Jesus, give him a hand.
Oh, I have a flash blocker installed. That's why.
Oops. Well, unblock your flash, Shane.
Yeah, that's what Firefox is for. See, I'm a good Apple user. I don't use Flash.
You're using Firefox. Shane, why are you outside?
This is the World Wakes Medley.
Loud.
A bit of a preview of that.
Okay.
Anyways.
All right.
That is actually in the next section, Tweaks and Fixes. So you can listen to the World Wakes Medley on their SoundCloud page. And, people need to take this into account with everything going on in the game and realize that this is not the same game that people used to diss and whatnot way back when for having crap graphics and having crap sound. So if you know anybody who did that in the past, you might want to send them some screenshots of this quest and send them the sound clip. So. All right. Other tweaks and fixes? Anything jump out at you guys?
Well, I have one that jumped out. I just saw where to go. The talk option has been removed from the gnome captain Irido after completing the Grand Tree quest. So that's, I guess, will help him moving around a little bit. One other thing that I noticed that is not on here is that you can left click summon pouches now instead of right clicking on it as you did before. So it makes
It'll summon it?
Yeah, just by left clicking on it.
Well, that's like 4 years overdue.
I didn't mind right clicking on it and make sure I didn't use something.
I liked it.
Let's see.
Patty and Skull have been removed.
Yeah, that's old.
Customization interface changes. Software mode has been removed, so that's good.
Players can now craft hard leather boots and gloves. Oh, I guess it was just the old... Okay.
Old shield. But moving the game forward, you can now use the WASD keys on your keyboard to move the camera.
Oh, to move the camera.
Yeah, it does the same thing as the arrows, I'm guessing, but interesting that they choose WASD. So,
do you want to rebind them, Shane?
Yeah, I bet most people did that for whatever abilities
like
they're using.
That. Because, actually, that's a good point, because for my abilities, I use 1 through 5, Quirt, or just Quir, and ASDF. So, yeah, that's that'll be interesting to see what goes on with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that takes some sound out of me. The thing.
Were you just speaking French?
No.
Okay. Anyway,
why would I speak French?
I don't know. Moving on to the patch notes.
He's American.
Two things jumped out at me this week. Farmers' mouths no longer stretch.
Okay.
I found the old massacre animation has been massacred and given a new beastly animation. I liked that one. Mostly just for the description.
Yeah. I don't think I use massacre. But in the realm of other combat changes, the ferocious ring has been reworked. That's the ring that you get down in the
Slayer Dungeon.
Ancient Cavern Slayer.
Curadel.
Yeah, Curadel's Dungeon. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. Interesting they mention this, but they don't at all mention how exactly it's been reworked. So I wonder if that means it's more effective or less effective, or I don't know.
Don't know either.
I mean, normally I just wear a Ring of Wealth because I never really saw much benefit to taking that thing down there. So,
sometimes I don't even see a point of Ring of Wealth.
Yeah, it used to add plus 4 to your hit back when the hits were before they multiplied them by 10. So,
and then
maybe that's what it was.
Plus 40.
Yeah, maybe it was still just doing plus 40 and maybe they scaled it up somehow. But still, it would have been nice to have a bit of a background into what happened with this. So, okay. Anything else from the patch notes this week?
Yeah,
going once,
really jumped out.
Going twice.
Ernie Collector Ernie's lips will no longer stretch.
I don't like Ernie.
Why not?
I just don't. Players Gallery 42, Edible Creations. KGP Agent's Cake won first place with basically a cake, KGP Bureau of Intelligence and Communication with the penguins on it.
It's made from, like, cyanide?
What?
No.
Why would you say cyanide, Reed?
He's crazy.
Because they're... Shane... Now you're making me sound crazy.
You are crazy.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but...
Cyanide, spies, you know?
Oh, okay. I see. All right, understood.
Wait, you didn't get that?
I
thought you did, but you still didn't understand.
Aww. I got the part about cyanide and spies, but... Anyways, the next one is skill cakes, a little cupcake type thing for each skill. That's interesting.
Okay.
And then we got some one that I have no idea why it's here. It's called It Just Looks Very Minty. What is that supposed to be in the realm of RuneScape?
I can't see it. Where is it?
It's on the wiki page.
Oh, let me see. Loading. It looks very minty. Oh, that's the cake you get from one of the quests. I can't remember which quest it was.
Yeah, Shane, that's the mint cakes. They used to be really valuable for some reason. I think they were just junk items.
They were drunk items, but then actually that looks quite nice. So I don't care for mint. Nice brownie. Nice brick brownie.
Yeah.
And then someone made a cake of the Return to Caniffus book cover. Then we got sweet smithing. Smithing's made with what looks to be like jelly beans and gum.
Jelly beans and gum?
Yeah.
Oh, what you know? It is gum on right there. Huh.
Gum on the bottom and I think jelly beans up top, maybe? I don't know. Hard to tell. Then we got the great cake.
Nerds.
Which is a cake picture taken in real life, edited onto a RuneScape character. That's nice.
Cake.
Wait, which one is this?
The last
Sweet
one.
Sweet Smithy? Oh, Great Cake Project?
Yeah, the last one. I could have made like something that probably would have got in for sure. Would have been edible Bob cookies. Because we have a cookie cutter here that's in the shape of a cat. So I could have decorated them black and made it look like Bob the cat.
But you can't cook.
Oh, I can cook. Probably better than you.
Yeah, Shane, grilling meat, this doesn't count, all right?
No, I do other things aside from that. We'll save that for another
washing time lettuce though. To make a quick salad does not count as cooking either.
More than that. All right, okay. Moving on. Combat updates. Both hands are better than one, finally. Okay. Dual wielding and two-handed damage to bring them on to a level plane, so that's good. Full dual wielding for magic users, meaning you can now cast a different spell from each hand. We're not going to talk much about these combat changes this week because there's a whole other swath of them coming next week, as shown in the behind-the-scenes video. So we're going to leave most of these for next week.
But let's see, what was the other one? So basically Player one of the
ports,
big
armor degrade changes.
Yeah, so you don't have to make them degrade as much as before. But you know, one of the things that I'll just mention because it is pretty big is that they're finally releasing the ability to use both weapons from two different triangles, like magic, have a magic wand and an offhand crossbow, or a rapier and a wand, that type of thing. So they're finally implementing that into the game, which will make combat pretty interesting.
Yeah, because you and I, when the OC first came over, wondering how we could do that.
Do you know if there's a penalty for having something in, say, your left hand as opposed to your right?
Well,
probably. You need to use the offhand version, so it's half as powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Oh, okay.
Also, depending on what armor you're wearing, that will also have a big impact as well.
Yeah, so you'll have to balance your attacking and defending bonuses accordingly to try and max out both combat types. But a problem glaring from this is that, well, you can do this with the attacking side of things. There's not really many hybrid pieces of armor out there, which is kind of concerning. But
the only hybrid armor out there is basically the Battle Mage sets from all those little mini games, but they'll take forever to get.
Yep.
And if you miss dialogue, you miss the ability to get it.
But like I said, we'll discuss this more next week because there's more combat updates coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. So,
free-to-play changes that we discussed last week. So effectively, Berthorpe and Taverly are now open. Including the quests that come around them, so that's Death Plateau, Druidic Ritual, Let Them Eat Pie, and Wolf Whistle. And you can also level up member skills now to level 5. We suggested this years ago, didn't we?
Well, I suggested giving Free-to-Play a little more access to member stuff, but that was me.
That's good.
Mm. And Run Energy has been kind of reworked a little bit to allow Free-to-Play some more time to be able to run longer.
I didn't notice a difference, so
I don't know. How do you?
It's hard to say.
How do you add the auto run ability thing?
You click the boot.
What do you mean?
No, the auto run feature when the add in auto run feature when a player stats automatically switch to
run. It's automatic.
It just does it whenever.
Unless you toggle it to walk.
It's auto magic.
Yep. You know, reduce the penalty caused by weight to run energy drain. That's good. But they also say they're updating or looking into a big update to agility in the future to introduce benefits beyond run energy drain and restoration rate shortcuts and other content.
That's so good.
This is good for the time being, but I'd like to see how this agility thing comes into play. I know with 99 agility, I rarely had an issue of running out of run energy. So. But it's annoying if you can't run.
That's when you just stand on your head.
Yep. Or talk to one of the musicians.
I still don't understand how that's supposed to be restful. I still feel like that would be more
you're reaching your zen.
Anyways. So then there's a behind-the-scenes video discussing what's coming up in the future of combat. So have a watch through this. And, you know, this is just that roller coaster ride I've been talking about. It's like we're still in a beta test, but it's actually not a beta test because so much is changing and they're going to be changing around the values of armor once again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's great being a part of this roller coaster.
Woo.
Okay.
So, anyways, have a watch, and well, we went long on that, so that's it for RS updates. Well, 1 week we got a drought. Next week, nothing. Next week we got too much, so that's the way it goes.
I have water right here, Shane. I'll be fine.
That's good. All right, moving on to the questions. First one is an audio question from a fellow named Brickface.
Hey, guys. I've been out of RuneScape for a while now, but I've been keeping up with the news and listening to your podcast every week. This will be my first real venture into RS since before the EOC. Where do you recommend I start? Quests, skilling, games, etc.? And what do you think would get me jump-started back into the RS community as a whole? Thanks, guys.
Okay. You know, if you haven't been back since EOC, one thing I would recommend you do is go do a Slayer task or two. I think you'll find that Slayer's been drastically increased in speed with EOC. And Reed, you had something to add?
Quests. Yes. Do every quest ever.
Yeah, Reed is a quester, so you know, he enjoys that kind of thing. So
Shane would never do it, but I do suggest you take a look at the sinkhole. They do give good dungeoneering experience.
Wait, why wouldn't Shane?
Because he doesn't like dungeoneering. He's got 85 already, so he doesn't care about it anymore.
No, I'm actually 70k away from 85. So, could
Shane.
I get 70k in one sinkhole?
No, not at your level.
Okay,
I could.
Well,
not yours, but
I'll wait until I get another Dungeoneering daily to crop up then.
You do it two in one day, depending on what lamp you get.
Yeah.
Eh.
So, but yeah, I say definitely check out EOC. You know, we've been kind of, you know, this is just the general thing since EOC and mostly through 2012. Is that RS updates have been slow in coming out, and they haven't been as game-changing as they were before. I don't know when you left, but definitely check out Runespan and Bonfires.
And quests. You need to do those.
Yes, quests. Did you have anything else to add there, Ricky?
I'm still hoping that when they rebalance EOC, they release more skills. Range definitely needs more skills. Magic needs some more skills that can, you know, be more effective and to build up adrenaline. The problems I have with those two is, you know, range doesn't have enough skills, but range and magic for me, and look, don't they lack skills that are in the middle to help you build up, and as a whole, EOC still needs to work on doing more combo type of attacks. And so you're just passing 1, 2, 3, 4 all the time.
Hopefully they'll introduce that with the new
new update.
The hybrid thing they're doing.
Mm-hmm. But my little thing is, you know, even though while the world wake quest was quite nice and
giving us some ability. Are we talking about?
The update next week.
Oh, okay.
But I was trying to say that even it was quite nice for the world wake quest to give us a couple of new skills. These are still all ultimate abilities.
That's true.
Building it up, you know, still going to take you time. There's really not that much in the middle. I mean, for melee, yeah, you can do a lot of stuff with it to build up quickly. Range, magic, still lacks in that department. And I'm hoping they kind of go with have a way to use combinations, do combos and everything else, instead of just using 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, I have some small combinations that I have, but it's nothing completely game-changing for me right now. And I really hope they add in some more adrenaline abilities that, you know, maybe at the 25 or 50, you know, just so they can use it up more. Instead of just hoping, just like, you know, using all basic and then just use one ultimate ability every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, they did say there are a couple more basics coming in. So EOC is constantly changing, so maybe if EOC doesn't stand out to you now, maybe it will in the future.
But, and please, please, more action bars. That's it.
You want Brickface to give you more action bars?
I want Jagas to give us more action bars.
Okay. But yeah, there's our suggestions. Have fun.
Woo!
Next one from Poison Nova. Reed, you can actually take this one.
It says audio question.
No,
oh,
no.
Shane,
next one.
All of them are.
Oh,
it says audio question from
Poison. I was wondering why you were writing that the first time.
You suck at typing. Thank you. Dear hosts, would you like the choices you make during quests and other content to have an actual effect on the outcome and not just end up determining which cosmetic item you can get, which you can swap for a different one anyways? Personally, I'd rather have no choice than the illusion of choice. And that is from Poison Nova.
That sounds like Mass Effect 3.
Oh no. The lights and the colors.
Were there four lights?
No, Shane, there were five. Actually, only three. Three?
Okay, so answer the question. Would you like to have quests that give you the illusion of an effect?
Yes, or no. I'd like stuff that actually has an effect. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so I would too.
You said
and
you should
when it comes down to it. Oh, go ahead.
Although it's not too late. Although I went and did all of the unique dialogues, looked at those, and the Zaro see people as an Adra. He said that he was sorry that we didn't see eye to eye. But hopefully in the future this won't disrupt our... So they're like, yeah, I understand. I'm not mad.
Okay. There is actually something they discussed in the preview for 2013 at the tail end of last year. And they said that the decisions players make are actually going to affect the game this year, the way the game pans out. And they did say something relating to the gods. So we have to assume that because While the World Wakes was here and advancing the game year, like we said earlier, it's the stepping point for into the future. So we can expect to see some of these things, like actual choices and whatnot, having a bearing on the game, come out this year. They did say that. So that is coming. So hopefully that will be enough to satisfy everyone, because I'm going to be interested to see whether this all pans out, because if they start doing this, you're going to have different quests and different storylines that are different for everyone. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how they rectify this in future quests.
Well, I'm kind of thinking they kind of do the way of you have some NPCs that die depending on your choices, and that just does have a small effect on the game. Who is there
the
and
void
stuff.
Stairs, right?
And the fire maker's curse, I think it was.
Nobody died in that for me, so did it.
Some
right.
people could. Some people could have, but yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah. So it's coming. So take comfort in that. The next one's from Bob of Might. Dear host, do you think that a day-night cycle would be a good addition to RS? Why or why not?
No.
It's okay. It sort of already is, because go to
Citadel.
Canifus, and it's dark, same with Draenor, but go somewhere like Varrock, it's light. It's light where it should be and dark where it should be. Because wouldn't it be weird for it to be really light and happy?
But you know, my little thing is, if you add in a day and night cycle to the game, are you going to try and do the whole monsters? Some monster one can be seen at night, like the whole Pokemon thing back in the day. Can you imagine everyone just like jumping onto Australia server when it's like 2 a.m. there for them, and then jump back over here when it's whatever? That's just that doesn't really help. That doesn't add anything to the game.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, making it dark is actually not very good, because there are people who have bad eyesight, and making things really dark just makes it worse for them. So keep the lights on.
Yeah, and, you know, there's something else about this. This was actually asked, interesting, we got two of the questions that were asked in the same Q&A last year by Official Jagex, but their response to this was that, they thought of doing something like this, but the issues you guys described came up, and also, how do you fix it for people who can't play at certain times of the day and whatnot? I mean, it would be nice, but it just kind of doesn't make sense from a logistical standpoint.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Last one.
You do it, Reed. You do it so well.
Question from Saint Enderes. I apologize if I pronounce that incorrectly. What are your standpoints on the gambling and the auto-mute in place by Jagex? Do you think Jagex should put out a warning instead of auto-muting players? Some players have been tricked into saying something and not know it. Say hot or cold many times and you can be auto-muted.
I think the rules are there, and anybody who doesn't read them and doesn't know about them is basically playing Russian roulette and needs to take advantage, not take advantage, but take what they're doing more seriously, and just know that these are the rules. They're there for you to read. By playing the game, you therefore agree with the rules, and Jagex is free to enforce them how they want. And last time I checked, no gambling was indeed a rule. And in my view, it's a rule that should be enforced harder than it is right now. Because let's face it, so many of those gambling things happen and go on. So I'm really waiting to see what Jagex's stance is on this is going to be this year.
Yeah. Hope they get rid of it.
Yeah. So I 100% agree with auto mutes. And the auto ban system, so I don't agree with you.
Although, are the appeals? I mean, I assume you can appeal those. As long as you can appeal the auto mutes, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, and I mean, you should know if you're an experienced player that saying hot or cold is a problem, and that is something
but some people aren't. experienced.
Well, then that players. Then that comes from the thing. How many people who aren't experienced are going to be repeating hot or cold, hot or cold, hot or cold, hot or cold?
That's cold, yeah. Dude.
So, anyways. Anybody else have anything on this one?
Mm-mm.
Did you say what you think?
Mm-mm. Yeah, skip me. I got nothing on this subject.
All right. Well, thank you for the questions, everyone. Reminder, you can send your audio questions, just like Brickface did, to questions@rsbnb.com. Or send them to our Skype address, which is rsbnbupdate, one word, all lowercase, or phone them into the Google Voice number, 571-572-2632. All right.
Yay.
Tech news. So, there was a petition that was sent into the American White House. We petitioned the Obama administration to make unlocking cell phones legal. So, previously, through some provision of the DMCA or whatever, as of January 26th, it would be illegal to unlock your cell phone, even after the contract expired. And, you know, typical American telecoms and in this, making something like this illegal, even after you own the device. We have restrictions here, but even then, they're not as restrictive as this. You can unlock them right after your contract is done. But regardless, this did get a response from the White House. The White House brought together experts from across government who work on telecommunications technology and copyright policy and were pleased to offer a response. The White House agrees with 114,000 plus of you who believe that consumers should be able to unlock their cell phones without risking criminal or other penalties. In fact, we believe the same principle should also apply to tablets, which are increasingly similar to smartphones. And if you paid for your mobile device and aren't bound by a service agreement or other obligation, you should be able to use it on another network. It's common sense, crucial for protecting consumer choice, and important for ensuring that we can have a vibrant, competitive wireless market that delivers innovative products and solid service.
What was that funny to you, Shane?
Vibrant, competitive wireless markets.
Hmm.
I don't know about you guys here, but our wireless markets here are not vibrant and competitive.
I mean, it's AT&T and Verizon here. I don't know if vibrant is the right word, but they're competing.
Wait, you guys only have two?
No. Well, as a nation, we have Sprint and
T-Mobile, but who uses those? There are also obscure ones like U.S. Cellular.
Okay.
We have others, but those are the two big ones. It's like how Linux exists, but there's also Windows and OS X.
OS 10, but we have three of them here as well, and it'd be nice to have the same kind of policies on this that Europe has and whatnot.
I guess T-Mobile is a competitor. I guess T-Mobile is a competitor now that I think about it, but I digress.
Okay, I mean, it's just silly that you can't unlock something that you own. I mean, in a way, it's different than jailbreaking a piece of software. In some ways, it's similar. But regardless, when a government puts this kind of restriction on rather than the company, it's kind of something that should be removed. Because seeing as the government is supposed to be and should be the one to foster these kind of ideas of free market choice and whatnot. So, you guys have anything else on that one?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
The Pirate Bay may or may not have been invited to North Korea, but it is not being hosted there. So there was a question on earlier in the week about whether or not the Pirate Bay was relocating to North Korea, of all places. And as we all know, the Pirate Bay is a website where you can go and pick up torrents to download things illegally. So they're the targets of lots of people, and of course, where to go except the most reclusive state on the globe, North Korea. So, it turns out that the servers are actually still elsewhere, somewhere probably in Europe. But all that was happening here was that the ISPs of the Pirate Bay, or not the ISPs, the network administrators, rather, were using some trickery that anybody could really pull off to spoof the traces so that it looked like it was coming from an IP address in North Korea. So the Pirate Bay is not being hosted in North Korea. People don't need to worry. It's still being hosted where it usually is hosted. So I thought this was interesting because, you know, to the naked eye, it looks like it is coming from North Korea, but no, it's not. And there's a whole rundown here of exactly how they pulled this off. So, but regardless, interesting to read. And Pirate Bay is still in Europe.
Yes, it is. So, hey.
Anything? You guys? Come on. Come on. Like, stack news, you guys.
Yeah, I don't. I never really bought the idea they were going to be in North Korea. I mean, for one thing, how the heck are they going to get servers over there? And pretty sure if they did, I'm pretty sure North Korea would probably steal a lot of information over from the servers. So it was like, I was skeptical when I first read it. I was like, shouldn't be it. Impossible.
Yep.
Yeah. And besides, I think if they try to get there, put anything there, can you imagine the fire of the, well, actually, they would probably just break a wall and light it on fire and call it a firewall. that was basically it, to try and keep people from getting information in and out.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, why would North Korea let something like this into their borders too? It doesn't make sense. So. Mm. All right.
Yeah.
And last piece of tech news, the Facebook news feed is getting a redesign, focusing on bigger pictures.
Facebook.
Reed, have you got this yet?
I have not, I think.
Okay, because it just started rolling out the other day. Social Fixer,
so I don't know if that's blocking it.
But anyways, the goals are a richer story design, choice of different feeds, and a consistent experience on mobile devices and web browsers. They're trying to give everyone the best personalized newspaper, and the best personalized newspaper should be intricate, rich, and engaging. Larger images of maps, news articles, and photos. So they're kind of taking some cues from Pinterest here, and they're also taking design cues from mobile and whatnot, which is interesting. But there's some new feeds, including all friends, photos, music, and following. So definitely an emphasis on the media side of things from them. So it appears as though they're doing this to gain some of the lost market of the teenage group that they had, and it disappeared. So who knows? But, you know, I wonder once this rolls out to people if we're going to be hearing the outrage that we normally hear from people about these sorts of things. What do you guys think?
I don't care for Facebook. I don't understand the big fuss about it, but you know, if you want to post what you ate for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and all your snacks, by all means, go ahead with Instagram.
But, yeah, you know, I think last time they did the timeline thing, and every other time before that, it garnered some news story about people getting upset. So it'd be interesting to see what happens this time. I mean, on the surface, it looks good, but I'm sure people will find problems with it.
Oh, so. They always do. I don't really care.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a tool, and I don't know. I still don't see the appeal of the damn thing. So. Let us know what you guys think of it. If you're one of the early people to get it, do you like it? Do you hate it? Etc. Be interesting to know what our demographic thinks. All right, that's it for tech news. Shall we check up on the summoning skill of the month?
Summoning, okay. We have no double weekend yet, but we'll see what happens. We are still. Oh my god!
You're looking at the graph.
Somebody had money to spend. Either that, or he had a lot of summoning. Lots of pendants.
All right, JM Andy 52 is in first place with 2.7, almost 2.8 million XP gained. Second place is Pernasius with
2 days,
about 1 million gained, and yes, roughly 2.4 million of that was in 2 days.
God, I like how pretty much everyone's XP gain daily is now zero.
Yeah, and you know, this
Wait,
is going to
be
another
a double
month.
XP month.
In theory.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking. But who knows? Nothing been announced yet.
Okay,
so we are probably going to need a logarithmic scale to look at this one again. So.
Oh my god.
Hey,
Tim got 8K experience.
Go, Tim.
And Scream 2's got 1 XP. I wonder what the hell you did to get 1.
Probably opened a pouch.
Alright.
Summon the pouch.
Oh, that's great.
Come on, Flash. All right. And Slacker 082. You need to get experience.
Just a wee bit. It's really
just
simple.
Just 1 experience, like Scream Truth. I bet he entered just to do that.
All right. Achievements of the week. You guys can handle these because there's only 2 of them.
Reed, go first. Hey.
Parcel Mouth, 99 summoning, March 3rd, 2013.
Finish it up, dude.
Oh, I thought I was taking one. Okay. Parcel Mouth, 99 strength, March 2nd, 2013. And yes, that does appear to be the same person.
So congratulations on maxing out combat, probably. And for the record, Parcel Mouth is Jason C. from RSPNB Informer.
Okay, then.
And actually, speaking of Informer, we forgot to do this last week, but the Informer Roundup for March is out, entitled Flavorful February.
Flavorful February.
Yeah, Flavorful February. You can thank King Cola for that title.
Flavor Flav.
Yes.
I think only Reed would get that one.
What, isn't that a rapper?
Yeah. Partly.
Is that the...
Bad rapper.
Okay.
Okay, so...
All right.
That's it.
Pick of the week. Something you want to share with us?
It's something that's really nifty and downloads Windows updates for you, so it's not an all-day stand there, restart, and so on. It just downloads.
Were you setting up like 30-odd computers this week?
Yeah, this was nice.
Really? Too bad the VA would never allow it.
What?
I was doing the same thing from my volunteer work.
I see.
So what exactly does it do?
I just said, didn't I? It downloads updates.
Windows updates, so you don't
you
need to.
You can burn
to,
them
so
onto a DVD.
And then install them all in one shot.
Yep.
That's good. I assume it's free?
Yeah. Did work. I'd pay money for it. No.
And it's and it works no matter how many updates there are, seeing as like next week is Patch Tuesday, so it'll work for that too.
You'll have to add them to the DVD, but yes.
Well, that's good then. All right, so that's good for anybody who wants to streamline the process of installing Windows. So thank you for that.
It's very nice.
You're welcome.
Moving on from that, just to remember, since I wasn't here at the beginning of February, we didn't do our monthly reminder that you can send us clips at any time of the year. So if you hear something on this show that you want to have for the end of the year clip show, just head on over to our website. Link will be in the show notes so that you can send in your clip suggestions. So if we said something here you think should be on there, you just fill in the episode number, the time index, describe the clip, and give us your name, and we'll include it for the end of the year clip show. And, you know, we are doing this time to make things easier on us, because every year we have this problem of going through 50-odd RSBNB update episodes, and we only get through half of them. So the more clips
Shane
we
delete
can get through the rest
of the
year. I didn't delete it. I had the raw files. It was gone. You're still upset about that, aren't you?
No, Shane.
Okay. I think he is.
I wish it was there, but there's nothing that can be done.
All right.
It's sad so, day.
Link will be in the show notes, as always. So just head on over and send us some clips. Yay. All right. Yeah. So, Reed, what you been up to this week?
Not much. My senior presentation is next week.
Oh, yeah. What's that on?
Social networks.
Oh, right. Right. Didn't you want to talk to me about that?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Anything else? RuneScape related or otherwise?
I mean, I did the quest.
That's good.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go last, so go ahead.
Well, I've was doing ports, and I realized that in order to make some of the new port items, I need to get chi. And the only way to get chi is to go and get 90 rune crafting. So now I have to do rune span till I get to 90.
Aren't you
rune
close?
Crafting. I'm like, I'm 88. It's not that close.
You can do it while you're doing homework and whatnot.
It's gonna take me a while, but other than that, RS-wise, did the quest, and that was basically it for RS.
All right. As for me this week, did the quest, did a farming run or two, I think. I think primarily just herbs this week. Been waiting for a dungeoneering thing to crop up so I can get 85 dungeoneering and call that skill done.
You're such...
What?
You should really just do the sinkhole, man. You'll be done in a day.
I can be done in 20 minutes once one of those things comes up.
You only have to do two runs, or you'll be done in 14 minutes.
Well, if one of them comes up, you can come with me and do one. How's that sound?
Hell no.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. I'll wait then. But aside from that, it's been a heavy programming week. I solved one of the most obscure problems I've ever come across, and it involved removing a key from a dictionary property list that I have no reason why it worked, but it fixed the problem. So that was satisfying, and I'm still trying to figure out why that happened. Hmm?
Is that me?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were saying something while I was doing that, but if not, that's
I hear
okay.
I hear music in the background.
I hear no music.
Never mind then.
Nope. All right. Anything else before we see you all next week?
You won't see me next week.
It's okay. We never really see you anyway. We just tolerate you.
Oh, don't be mean.
Oh, Reed, you know I like you. If I didn't like you, I wouldn't be here with you. Let's see. So anyway, so I hope you guys enjoyed the next week's Evolution of Combat update, and I hope that it fixed a lot of problems, and see you soon.
Woo!
Take care, everyone.